Chapter 145. Stories. Ambrose had been blessedly absent during the winter term, but when spring arrived, he came back to roost like some sort of hateful migratory bird. By no coincidence, the day after he returned, I skipped all my classes and spent the entire day making myself a new Graham. As soon as the snow melted and the ground grew firm again, I resumed my practice of the katan. Remembering how odd it had looked when I'd first seen it, I did this in the privacy of the forest north of the university. With spring term came a new round of admissions. I showed up for my interview with a profound hangover and fumbled a few questions. My tuition was set at 18 talents and 5, earning me 4 talents and change from the bursar. Sales of the Bloodless had slackened over the winter, as there were fewer merchants visiting the university. But once snows melted and roads grew dry, the handful that had accumulated in the stock sold quickly, bringing me another 6 talents. I was unused to having so much money at my disposal, and I'll admit I went a little mad with it. I owned 6 suits of clothes that fit me and had all the paper I could use. I bought fine, dark ink from Arua and purchased my own set of engraving tools. I had 2 pairs of shoes. 2! I found an ancient, ragged Yilish dictum buried in a bookstore in Imre. Full of drawings of knots, the bookstore owner thought it was a sailor's journal, and I bought it for a mere 1.5 talents. Not long after, I bought a copy of the Herborica, then added a copy of Termagus Technica I could use as a reference while designing schema in the privacy of my own room. I bought dinner for my friends. Ari had new dresses and bright ribbons for her hair. All this and still money in my purse. How odd. How wonderful. Toward the middle of the term, I began to hear familiar stories. Stories about a certain red-haired adventurer who had spent the night with Falurian. Stories of a dashing young arcanist with all the powers of Tabberlin the Great. It had taken months, but my exploits in Vintus had finally passed their way from mouth to ear all the long miles back to the university. It may be true that when I finally became aware of these stories, I lengthened my shade a bit and wore it more often than before. It might also be the case that I spent a shameful amount of time in alehouses over the next several span, lurking quietly, listening to stories. I might even have gone so far as to offer a suggestion or two. I was young, after all, and it was only natural for me to delight in my notoriety. I thought it would fade in time. Why shouldn't I revel a bit in the sidelong glances my fellow students made? Why not enjoy it while it lasted? Many of the stories centered around me hunting bandits and rescuing young girls, but none of them came terribly close to the truth. No story can move 1,000 miles by word of mouth and keep its shape. While the details differed, most of them followed a familiar thread. Young women were in need of rescuing. Sometimes a nobleman hired me. Sometimes it was a concerned father, a distraught mayor, or a bumbling constable. Most of the time, I saved a pair of girls. Sometimes, only one. Sometimes there were 3. They were best friends. They were mother and daughter. I heard one story where there were 7 of them, all sisters, all beautiful princesses, all virgins. You know that sort of story. There was a great deal of variety as to who exactly I was rescuing the girls from. Bandits were fairly common, but there were also wicked uncles, stepmothers, and shamblemen. One story, in an odd twist, had me rescuing them from Adem mercenaries. There was even an ogre or two. While I did occasionally rescue the girls from a troop of traveling players, I'm proud to say I never heard a story where they were kidnapped by the Edema Rue. The story generally had 1 of 2 endings. In the first, I leapt to the battle like Prince Gallant and fought sword on sword until everyone was dead, fled, or appropriately repentant. The second ending was more popular. It involved me calling down fire and lightning from the sky after the fashion of Tabberlin the Great. In my favorite version of the story, I met a helpful tinker on the road. I shared my dinner, and he told me of 2 children stolen from a nearby farm. Before I left, he sold me an egg, 3 iron nails, and a shabby cloak that could render me invisible. I used the items and my considerable wit to save the children from the clutches of a cunning, hungry trow. But while there were many versions of that tale, The story of Falurian was more popular by far. The song I'd written had made the journey west as well, and since songs hold their shape better than stories, the details about my encounter with Falurian were moderately close to the truth. When Will and Sim pressed me for details, I told them the whole story. It took me a while to convince them I was telling the truth. Rather, it took me a while to convince Sim. For some reason, Will was perfectly willing to accept the existence of the Fae. I didn't blame Sim. Until I saw her, I would have bet solid money Falurian didn't exist. It's one thing to enjoy a story, but it's quite another to take it for the truth. "The real question," Sim said thoughtfully, "is how old you really are."
"I know that one," Willem said with the somber pride of someone desperately pretending to not be drunk. 17.
"Ah," Sim held up a finger dramatically. "You'd think so, wouldn't you?" "What are you talking about?" I asked. Sim leaned forward in his chair. "You went into the Fae, spent some time there, then came out to discover only 3 days had passed," Sim said. "Does that mean you're only 3 days older, or did you age while you were there?" I was quiet for a moment. "I hadn't thought of that," I admitted.
"In stories," Willem said, "boys go into Fae and return as men. That implies one grows older."
"If you're going to go by stories," Sim said.
"What else?"
Will asked.
"Will you consult Marlock's Compendium of Fae Phenomenon? Find me such a book, and I will reference it."
Sim gave an agreeable shrug.
"So?"
Will said, turning to me.
"How long were you there?"
"That's hard to figure," I said. "There wasn't any day or night, and my memories are a bit odd," I thought for a long moment. "We talked, swam, ate dozens upon dozens of times, explored a bit, and, well..." I paused to clear my throat meaningfully.
"Cavorted?" suggested Will.
"Thank you. And cavorted quite a bit as well." I counted the skills Falurian had taught me, and then figured she couldn't have taught me more than 2 or 3 a day. "It was at least a couple months," I said. "I shaved once. Or was it twice? Time enough for me to grow a bit of a beard." Will rolled his eyes at this, running his hand over his own dark sealedish beard. "Nothing like your marvelous face, Bear," I said. "Still, mine grew out at least 2 or 3 times."
"So, at least 2 months," Sim said. "But how long could it have been?"
3 months? How many stories had we shared? 4 or 5 months? I thought of how slowly we'd had to move my shade from starlight to moonlight to firelight. 1 year? I thought about the wretched time I'd spent recovering from my encounter with the Cathay. "I'm sure it couldn't have been more than 1 year. My voice didn't sound nearly as convincing as I would have liked. Willem raised an eyebrow.
"Well then, happy birthday!"
He lifted his glass to me.
"Or birthdays, depending."